The Chazor says, "Nechem b'chichas u'shag v'em Yehudim sechta v'zezor daf samach hey." The Gemara says, "Rabbi Yehuda sent a gift to a guy named Abidarna on the guy's holiday." Rabbi Yehuda explained that he knew that Abidarna did not worship v'zezor, and therefore, a present to him on that day was mutter. Rabbi Yosef asked, "The Brisa says that a guy toishev is one who accepts in front of Bezdin that he will not worship v'zezor." This suggests that everyone else is considered to be a guy who does worship v'zezor. Rabbi Yehuda said, "A Brisa." It says that price is referring to the obligation to sustain a ger toshev, to help support him. For that, he has to accept in front of a bezin of three. However, to lose the status of someone who's oivid of a tzara, he does not need such an acceptance. Rekmar, we have learned the Rabbi Rechanan and Rebbechan said, if a ger toshev does not fully convert to Yiddishkeit within 12 months, he's considered like a min of the worshippers of a tzara. Since Abidarna did not convert, he gets the status. So how was Rabbi Yehuda allowed to give him a gift? And for the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon was talking about a case where the ger toshev accepted to get a bris mila and then did not. However, if he makes no such commitment, he would not get that status. Talking about Vaita, Rava gave a gift to Bar Sheshach, the goy, and explained that he was allowed to do so because Bar Sheshach did not worship Avodah Zarah. Rava found Bar Sheshach sitting in the bathhouse with rose petals up to his neck, surrounded by zoinus. He asked Rava, "Is that my boy as pleasurable as this?" Rava said, "It's more pleasurable because over there, there will not even be the fear of the kingdom. But you over here have the fear of the kingdom coming on to you." Bar Sheshach said, "I don't fear the kingdom." Just then a messenger came from the king that demanded that he appear before the king. Mishnah then continued and said, "Sochari lasos imi melocha acheres." In fact, this suggests that it would be mutter even if he was asked to do the work with the yayin nesach during the workday. However, Brisa says, "If a guy hires a yid to do mutter work, and towards evening, meaning after the workday, he tells the yid to transport barrels of yayin nesach, the wages are mutter." This suggests that the wages are mutter only because of the work with the yayin nesach was done after the workday. Marissa says, "Tarsan teres number one." Abai said, "The mission is referring to where the work was done after the workday." Teres number two. Rava said, "The price is where the deal was that he would be paid 100 putas to transport 100 barrels of wine. The payment is only when all 100 barrels are moved. If one of them is yayin nesek, the entire wage would be usur." The Mishnah is discussing a case. The Mishnah, on the other hand, is discussing a case where he was asked to move each barrel for a pruta. Therefore, if one of the barrels are yayin nesek, it's only the wage for that barrel that is usur. Brisa says, "Taka like Rava." The Mishnah continued to say, this case seems to be practically identical to the first case of the worker. And for tomorrow, the Mishnah does not need to teach that the fee would be usur. The Mishnah needs to teach that even if the guy put his flask of yayin nesach on the donkey, the fee is mutter because the fee paid does not allow for placement of someone's flask on the donkey. In fact, tomorrow, Bryce says, if someone rented a donkey to ride on, he's allowed to load it with clothing, the flask that he needs, and the food that he's going to need for the entire journey. If he wants to load anything more than that, the donkey owner is allowed to stop him from doing so. The donkey driver, on the other hand, is allowed to put on barley and straw on the donkey and his own food that he needs for that day. With regard to anything more, the renter is allowed to stop him from doing so. We see that the renter has the right to put his flask on the animal. And for the Gemara, Abaye said, he has the right to do so, but if he does not do so, he does not receive any discount. Therefore, we see that no part of the fee is given for the right to place the flask on the animal. And what's the case? If there will be place to buy food along the way, why can't the owner stop the renter from taking more food than he needs for one day? If there's no place to stop and get food on the way, then the renter should not be able to prevent the donkey driver from taking food enough for the entire journey as well. And for the Gemara, Papa said, the case is that there's food available for someone who will go ahead and search for it and look for it when they stop. It's normal for a donkey driver to do so, but it's not normal for someone for the renter to go ahead and do so. Therefore, the donkey driver cannot take more than he needs for one day, but the renter is allowed to take enough for the entire trip. The Gemara says that the father of Abacha, the son of Ravika, would pour wine into bottles for Goyim and would then transport them across the river to them. In return, he would get the earthenware barrels in which the wine was stored. People told Abaye about this. Abaye said it was mutter because when Ravika dealt with the wine, it was mutter to take a wine. Exactly, but Ravika wanted the wine in the bottles to remain in existence because if they would break, he would have to use his own barrels to save the wine. And for tomorrow, Ravika, he made a tenai with them that he would not have to use his own barrels to save the wine. Another teretz, the goyim would have empty kalim with them in case the bottles would break. Fekmer, by transporting it across the river, he was working with Asu Yayin. Mar said he had others do it for him. Zuck, the next Mishnah, if Yayin Nesach falls onto grapes, they can be rinsed off in their mutter. If the grapes were cracked, they're usur. If the wine fell onto figs or dates, if the wine gives a flavor in them, they're usur. Mishnah says it once happened with Beisus ben Zunon, that he brought dried figs on a ship and Yayin Nesach fell onto them, and they said that they were matered for him. Mishnah says the general rule is, if the flavor given by an usur thing is a good flavor, the item is usur. If it's not a good flavor, it's in Tamil of Gam, the item is mutter, like a vinegar fell onto beans. In fact, the Gemara, the story seems to contradict the halacha taught earlier in the Mishnah. And for the Gemara, the Mishnah is missing the words and just say, if the flavor given is a bad flavor, it's mutter, and it once happened, etc. The Gemara says there was a pile of wheat onto which Yayin Nesach spilled, and Rava allowed the wheat to be sold to Goyim. Rabba Bar Levoi asked Rava, Ebraisa says that if a thread of Klayim is lost in a garment, it may not be sold to a Goy. Presumably this is because the Goy would then possibly sell to an unsuspecting Yid. If so, the same should be true for selling the wheat to a goy, and it should therefore be aser. Rather than said, it would be mutter to grind the wheat and bake it and sell the bread to a goy when a yid is not around, because a yid would not buy baked bread from the goy, because the bread of a goy is a pasakim, is aser. In fact, our Mishnah said the grapes are mutter when yain nesach falls on them, as long as the grapes are rinsed. If so, the same should be true for wheat. And if tomorrow, Papa said, the indentations in wheat make it like they have cracks.